Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you guys. You know, I started a series a couple weeks back, and starting with this brand new year and changes, and we started talking about these New Year's resolutions, and I wanted to just see really quick, those of you that made New Year's resolutions just for yourself, I just want you to think, how well are you doing? It's now been about 3 weeks now since we've talked last about these New Year's resolutions, and I want you to think to yourself how well you're doing right now. As I said on that day when we started talking about, by week number three, usually 50% of the people have already kind of stopped, especially the workout facilities. Membership is dropping back off now, and they're not showing up as fluently as they did. But I want you guys to know that your pastor is still staying strong. I do. I want you guys to know that I'm doing extremely well on those. I don't mean to be cocky about it, but I am, okay? I gave you two of them that I'm working on. One is that I told you guys that I would be serving people one time in my day. Somebody's going to get served in my day. The other one is I'm going to work out at least twice for 30 minutes a week. And so I wanted you to kind of see just some highlights of how well I'm doing with some of my exercising. There I am. I am bowling. There I am. I am fishing. I got a good workout, a sweat, playing basketball the other night, with Jamie. And then there was times also I told you that I'd be serving a lot. And so here I am watching my co-teacher actually teach my kids and her kids while I took pictures. And I was helped take, I don't know about you, but trying to serve and take pictures while David and Eric are wobbling around with these beds, big old heavy beds. I mean, that took, it took some time for me to do that. And then here I am feeding a few people some Hostess cupcakes, serving them. And there, I don't know if you... You can see me. I am, I don't know if you can see me right there behind Trump, but I am making sure he is well protected. So I have gone beyond what I thought I could do. And well, it's good to have you guys here. As I said, man, we started this series a few weeks back. These new mercies that I see each and every single day, and new mercies that you experience each and every day, as we look at God's Word and we search for nuggets of truth in God's Word that would literally help us draw closer to Him each and every day. Every day you wake up and each day you experience something new in your life. And by the time that you go to bed and you're staring at your ceiling fan light and you think about throughout your day what God had put in your day, what God allowed in your day, some maybe that you hope would never have happened, some that you didn't ever see ever coming your way, and you see the blessings and you see some of the hardships that maybe also other people have had to experience in their walk, in your walk with Christ. A couple weeks back, I shared with you where I began this message, and we look back at Lamentations chapter 3, 22-24, and I want to read it really quickly. It says, "Through the Lord's mercies were not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you that, God, that we have new mercies each day. We thank you that, God, that we are not consumed. We thank you that you are so faithful to us each and every day. And may we not always understand what goes on and why things happen in our lives. But we ask that, God, that as we look at them, as we experience them, that we can line them up to your scriptures, that we can go to you in prayer, and that we can truly put our hope into you. For God, that you are our living hope. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles today, if you'd turn with me to Mark chapter 14, I want to show you a new mercy that I discovered. And yes, there's so many of these stories and so many of these verses that we have read and that you have been reading for many, many years. But I want us to be able to look at a few things that hopefully that maybe we've never really have taken in, or maybe we saw something in one way, in one story, one message, one sermon, and maybe we'll see something new today. Mark chapter 14, verse 26. A little previously background is that the disciples and Jesus had just come together as one. You have the 12 disciples and you have Jesus in this intimate time, literally the Last Supper. Literally the Last Supper. The Lord's Supper taken together. Taking bread, understanding that the bread that he's about to break, his body that he's about to break for all of mankind. The wine, they're representing the juice and the blood that we drink is the juice, but representing the blood that's about to be poured out for the world. A true sacrifice that's about to be made. And the symbolism and the sacrifice. Can you imagine? I mean, we have the Lord's Supper here and the intimacy of what that's like and the worship of what that was like. And here, these people are about to experience something that they had not yet experienced. They're going to see things in their life that they're not going to be accustomed seeing. They're going to hear promises. They're going to have to put their trust. They're going to have to put their faith in a brand new way because, see, they've been walking so closely with Jesus for the past 3 years. And maybe you too have been walking very closely with Jesus in your life. Maybe some of you have not been walking very closely with Jesus in your life. And it's going to come to the point where each of them are going to look introspectively at their own life. It's a life-changing event that just took place. Mark chapter 14, 26 begins. And when they had just done the Lord's Supper, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written," and this is the Old Testament prophecy from Zechariah 13:7. "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, more zealously. He was upset about it. He was more zealous. He was kind of in front of Jesus' face and said, "There's no way. There's no way. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And the rest of their group, the rest of the disciples listening to this and watching this, they all said, "Likewise, there's no way, Jesus. It's not going to happen." Who was Simon Peter? He was the disciple with the foot-shaped mouth. That's who he was. Oftentimes, he's me. Sometimes he may be you, but he's definitely the one that at times in your life where you wish that sometimes you could take back maybe something that you said or something that you did. Well, this was Simon Peter. He was this kind of guy. He was the one that always had his foot in his mouth and wished he could just go back and do a redo. Some of the things that he would say and things that he would do. But you see that he was really outspoken about this. There's no way I will deny you, Jesus. Who was he? He was just a fisherman that lived in Capernaum. This great fisherman that lived in this complete society where everybody fished, where everybody was really, really good at it. All over here by this in this fishing industry that's right by the Sea of Galilee. And his brother Andrew, who Jesus met earlier, is the one that's going to introduce Jesus to Simon Peter. Simon was just a common name, though. A lot of people had the name Simon. But we're going to see some things happen with his name. We're going to see some things happen with his life. And this morning, I want to share a new mercy that I discovered this week, is how to deal with pressure that comes our way. How do you deal with pressure when it comes your way? Pressure looks differently for everybody. As we begin to look at the story of Simon, you can see how confident he was, all right? You saw how confident that Simon is with Jesus. I mean, he just had 3 years of ministry together. He has seen all these different miracles. He walked with Jesus doing all these unbelievable things. He even jumped out of the boat. He walked on water. Anyone else in here walked on water just for a little bit? He got to experience that. He got to experience heaven open up to him on the mountain of transfiguration, allowing the heavens to open up and God come down and be able to speak to him and a couple other people. I mean, he was on top of the mountain spiritually as well. He was out with Jesus and he was able to cast his net and catch more fish than he could ever pull up. I mean, this was like his best day ever when he was with Christ. Yeah, he was fearful during the storms. Everybody was scared, but he got to be an encouragement for Jesus and said, way to go, when Jesus calmed that storm. He was the one that even helped out a little bit and got to help feed 5,000 people. And everybody's looking at him and looking at the other guys and looking at Jesus and saying, yeah, that's my man right here. You know, we were able to take care of you and all this. I mean, he was in the midst of all that. He was looking pretty good. Simon, Peter, he was the man. And not just the man. He was one of the top three men. And many, in fact, he might be the man right next to Jesus Christ. He was the second one in command of all the disciples. Everybody looked at him. Maybe it's because he was so outspoken. Maybe because he didn't have any fears. Maybe because he wasn't really showing his insecurities. Maybe he was the one that was just allowing everybody to see him, including his brother that knew him best. Really, how spiritual he really was. He was the second one in command next to Almighty God in the flesh. But Simon was very confident. We see that. He was kind of cocky. We see that. He might have been a little self-righteous. Theologians will also say that maybe he had a superiority complex. It was almost like he was untouchable. You ever been around people like that? Ever been around some self-righteous people? Ever been around some people that had a superiority complex that thought more of themselves than they really, really actually were? Simon looked at Jesus and says, no way, I will never scatter from you. There's no way I will ever deny you, Lord. The other guys may do it, but there's no way I'm going to do it. And verse 29 says, if all are made to stumble, I will not. Have you ever felt so strongly before in your spiritual walk where you feel like you would never stumble? where you would never deny him. That you are walking so close to God. We read a passage in Sunday school where you imagine walking so close to God that you're like, there's no way. I mean, I'm in my prime. I am at my top of my game. I am literally driving and riding on this spiritual wave right now that everybody's looking at me and it's like score tens all the way around. That's how good I'm doing right now. I'm on a mountaintop. This is where Peter is at this point. I mean, he literally has been walking and experiencing something. But remember the promise. Remember the words from the prophet Zechariah 13:7 says, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. So why did Jesus quote the Old Testament prophet? Jesus needed to show that his word is true. Jesus needed to show that it's time for him to show up in our lives when there's going to be an issue that's about to take place. See, Jesus knew there was something. Jesus knew that the pressure was coming. In your life, don't think for a second that Jesus does not know when pressure is about to come your way. With people, with circumstances, with your flesh, do not think for a second that Jesus Christ does not know that the temptations that you're about to deal with the pressures that you're about to face, is not coming your way or is coming your way. It's there. He sees it, and he's going to end up reminding Peter. Peter, the second one in charge, be ready. Because you're about to deny me. Be ready. The pressure's coming. I will not deny you. There's no way I would ever leave you. There's no way that I will ever forsake you. Skip over to 32 through 42 as I read this really quick. Then they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John, the same three, by the way, that was on that mountain. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Think about this. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. And he went a little further and he fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible that the hour, that the pressure, Jesus Christ was feeling the pressure, wasn't he? If there's any way that the hour, that this cup may pass. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. Then he came and he found them sleeping and said to who? Peter. But watch how he changed the name. Watch this. Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and he prayed and he spoke to the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came to the third time and he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. As we look at the story of Simon, we see how confident he is. See, many people will experience pressure in their lives, but most do not know how to withstand it without giving in. I don't know if you found that to be true on you. On April 10th, 1963, the United States set sail one of the greatest submarines that has ever been created up to this point. It was called the USS Thresher. It was a nuclear submarine. They had never created anything like this, never made it, didn't even know if this was even going to be possible, if it was even going to be able to work. And as you see a picture of it, the USS Thresher, it was going to be able to go to depths that no submarine had ever gone before. And this is why it was going to be built. I mean, this was going to be the king of all submarines. So 129 Navy crew and shipyard personnel took the plunge. They took this submarine and they wanted to test it and see what it could do. As it hit the depths of the North Atlantic Ocean, it literally dropped to 1,300 feet below sea level. And they estimated that there would be a 600-foot margin of error that could withstand the pressure of 1,900 feet above them. But approximately 220 miles away from Boston, Massachusetts, the unimaginable happened. The submarine could not pass the test. And the submarine went down when all the pressure that was on top of it began to build more than it could withstand. All of them, all 129 people on board, sank to 8,400 feet below sea level at that time. It was considered the Navy's greatest disaster up to that point. Until you are tested under pressure, you will never know what you can withstand. Only God knows. Until you are tested under pressure, you will never know what you can withstand. Peter couldn't. The disciples couldn't. We can't either. Many of us see how far we can go in life with a margin of error. I want you to think about what you fell into in terms of temptations. I want you to think about pressures that you have faced at work. I want you to think about times in your life with your family. I want you to think about times here in church and ministries when things are coming your way. I want you to think about times when you're all by yourself. I want you to think about times when it's just you and God or whatever you're dealing with, or maybe some of your circumstances you felt. What is your margin of error? How will Simon handle the pressure as a man that walked with God? See, Simon at this point was only about 800 feet below sea level, spiritually speaking. He didn't even go to 1,300 feet. He was still riding the spiritual wave. He was doing really, really well. Yes, he had the foot in his mouth. That was 100 feet below sea level. Yes, he might have cut off a person's ear. That was 100 feet below sea level. Yes, he might have not walked on water completely. Yeah, that was 100 feet below sea level. But he's still testing. He's still testing his flesh. He's still testing the pressure. Verse 66 through 72, if you'll skip over. Verse 66 through 72. Sorry, I lost my place. You ever felt pressure before? Like everybody's staring at you, wondering when you're going to get and find that verse. I don't think my Bible has it anymore. I'm getting there, sorry. You got to get out of Matthew and get back to Mark is what the problem is. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard One of the servant girls of the high priest came. Did you hear that? One of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You are also with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again. It's almost like she was trying to pressure him. And began to say to those who stood by, now there's more people coming by. More pressure is on his way. This is the one. This is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them. For you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." I mean, there's proof here. We've seen you. Your speech shows it. We've seen it. And then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And his second time, the rooster crowed, and then Peter called to mind the words that Jesus, I want you to hear this. Then Peter called to mind. Then Peter was reminded. Then Peter was convicted. Then Peter heard the words that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he went away and he wept. How will Simon handle the pressure as a man that walked with God? In our lives, we must come to understand, as Simon did, that if you rely on your own strength instead of God's strength, you will sink. I cannot express to you how many times in my week I get calls or emails or text messages or instant messaging or something when people are feeling this pressure right now. What went wrong? Simon's pride took the best of him, didn't it? Simon's pride took the best of him. Literally, his foot and his mouth is now being measured to see if they're the exact same size. He's being tested. His pride took the best of him. There was no humility whatsoever. And Jesus tried to prepare him before the garden, and Jesus tried to prepare him after the garden of what's to come. But his attitude got the best of him. It's the same attitude as the people that were getting on the ship of the Titanic saying, "There's no way this thing will ever sink. Don't be crazy. It's unimaginable. It's unthinkable. There's no way that this nuclear submarine cannot handle what we have built." You would even think that even after talking with God in the flesh, I mean, if Jesus had a conversation with us, you would begin to see, surely they would be on their A game. Surely they would end up saying, "There's no way I'm going to fall asleep. There's no way that I'm going to deny Christ." I mean, they just had a conversation with Jesus Christ. Have you ever left from praying with God? Have you ever left from church? You ever left from having a quiet time and you're thinking to yourself, "There's no way I'm going to sin today. There's no way I'm going to mess up. There's no way that I can, because I'm truly walking close with God. I just heard this. I just sang this. I just spent 15 minutes with Him. I'm untouchable. I'm doing great." This is what Jesus was trying to prepare him for. But this is what Simon was having to struggle with. You would think that he would be on his A game. You would think that after leaving church, you would think that after doing whatever it is that we do spiritually, we would be ready to go at all times. But something happened. Not only was his pride taking the best of him, but Simon's spiritual complacency was actually undeniable. He compared himself to others, saying, "Not me, Lord. These other disciples, yeah, there's a good chance. There's at least a 50-50 chance they're probably going to cave in. I mean, I'm kind of the leader. I'm kind of like your right-hand man. But I'm not like these other guys. I mean, there's a reason why you put me in charge, right? There's no way I'm going to cave into the pressure like these guys would. Even though all the other ones said, yeah, me too. I'm not going to either. Yeah, we're not going to. We're right here with Peter. We're here for you, God. We're right here with you. But what was he doing? Jesus gave the word of God. He spoke from Zechariah. And you know what he pretty much did? He heard Jesus say it, but I don't think he really understood it. He heard Jesus say it, but I don't think he really took it in. I think he heard the scriptures, but he must have fallen asleep. That was the time that he was actually sleeping. You know, I think he heard the word, but I think he just quickly just forgot it. I think he heard the word, but I don't think he really accepted it. I mean, there was a reason why Jesus, of some random time, that he wanted to put this Old Testament prophecy word of God into the hearts of Peter and the rest of these people. But guess what? I don't know if they accepted it. Maybe they didn't have time for it. Maybe they've heard the story 1,000 times and say, well, this is just one of those things. Are you hearing the word of God? This is not Troy saying this. This is God saying this. Not truly hearing God's word. You are not willing to even pray. Spiritual complacency. Not understanding, not accepting God's word, and then not spiritually praying. How many times did he fall asleep? I mean, how many times do you think he prayed with Jesus? I mean, my goodness, he was sitting there when he prayed and 5,000 people were fed. When he was there when people when Jesus prayed, when the miracles took place. I mean, he was there when Jesus gave the model of the prayer, of how to pray. But he couldn't go pray when Jesus needed him the most. 3 times he failed. I think about that in my own life as a pastor. Maybe in your own life and your ministry and your positions of where you are. Where are you spiritually? Where are you? It's one thing hearing God's word. It's another thing accepting it and doing it. It's another thing of hearing Jesus telling us that we need to pray. It's another thing of actually going and doing it. See, when you are spiritually complacent, when you're not humbled, when you're not broken, blessed are those who are poor in the Spirit, for they will what? Find God. See God. There's a reason why he says to humble yourself before the Lord. And the other thing that we see really quick, and I'll try to get through this, guys. Sorry, give me 10 minutes for trying to find Mark, okay? The third thing that we see is that he was trying to conform to the rest of the people. I mean, there was just a servant girl of a high priest. I mean, she's not like she was the high priest. She was just a normal girl. He couldn't even withstand that pressure. And no offense, women, because it's not like that. But back in that day, I mean, they were treated a little bit differently back then. She was just calling them out. Hey, you're one of those guys. You were hanging out with Jesus. No, I wasn't. Hey, guys, come here over here. You're not going to believe this. This is one of the disciples. Matter of fact, this was the second one, the main dude. No, I was not. I don't even know who he is. I've never seen him before. Leave me alone. I'm just with you guys, man. We're all in this together. And here he is. He's just conforming. He's conforming to be like everybody else around him. Here was his flesh. His pride was not strong enough. His words were not compelling enough. His strength being on his own was not powerful enough. You hear it? There's the flesh that's really pouring out. There's my flesh that's pouring out. My self-pride, it's not strong enough. Troy's words are not compelling enough. Troy's strength on his own is not powerful enough to withstand the pressures that I am going to face in my life every day. We get caught up trying to be like everybody else, to conform to like everybody else, because we don't want to deal with what we're going to have to deal with. The pressure is there. And the words of Mark said in verse 72, he said, and he remembered what Jesus said and he wept. But I'm not going to beat up on Simon. I'm not. I mean, yeah, he messed up. He messed up pretty badly. I mean, seriously, Jesus was right there. He was walking on water. He couldn't even walk on water when the storm got a little rough. He was doing fine. I'm sure he had a long day. That's probably why he couldn't, stay awake. I mean, I get it. There's times that I'm sleepy and I need to pray and I have my quiet time in the morning, but I got to get on with work. I'm too sleepy. I mean, my prayers are good for that first 15 seconds, and all of a sudden I start, my eyes and my head and everything starts wandering. I get it. It was heavy for him too. I mean, I'm sure that the girl that was talking to him, I mean, there was probably something there that was just distracting him, and he probably just didn't want to, stand up for the guy that was about to lay his life down for him. Did you hear that? He couldn't stand up for the guy that was about to lay down his life for him. But I get it. It was his life that he was trying to save. It was his life that he was trying to save. Most of us in our lifetime will never, ever experience maybe this story. In our life, we will never, most likely, will never ever have to deal with this kind of pressure living in the United States or Garland or Rockwall or Mesquite or wherever it is in Dallas that we live. We'll never have to experience this because we're protected. We probably won't ever have to face this type of persecution. No one will most likely say, "Are you with Jesus?" and then try to kill us. I get that. We can leave this part of the story out because we will most likely not have to deal with that unless you want to be a missionary or possibly someone comes into your school and says, "Hey, do you believe in Christ or not?" I mean, the chances of those things happening. So I understand. Some of us may end up seeing and say, "You know what? He probably deserves it." Any cocky person, any arrogant person deserves what they get, right? I mean, if he's actually going out of his way to say, "There's no way I'm going to ever do something like this," he probably deserves it. But at times, we are no different. How do we hold up with pressures? How do we hold up to the everyday pressure at the workplace? Or talking to even family members about Christ? Is it taboo at your table? Is it taboo to pray in a restaurant? Is it taboo? Are you allowed to be able to talk to your neighbor about Christ? Have you? Have you? When was the last time you invited your co-workers to church or invited them to come over or lay down a Bible and say, I'm going to pray with you? Well, that's with the neighbor, and there's certain situations there, and I don't want to end up, it's just kind of weird, We kind of got this weird thing going. We just don't do that. We just kind of wave. I will tell you, and it is my opinion, but it's a very strong opinion, that most people that are married, and don't forget about your vows that you made between you and God, that most people do not even pray with their own spouse. Or talk to their kids about their walk with the Lord. or tell their friends at school or their hairdresser. But you don't even have to go outside your family. I am finding it to be more true that most people, even in their own intimate family that God had joined together, is not even doing. Spiritually, what you would do with maybe another friend or a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or your buddy, someone you feel comfortable with. Why? Because you feel uncomfortable. There's pressure there for some reason. It's happening to more and more families. And I'm not naive to think that it doesn't happen in this church. See, we don't have to experience pressure of us giving up our life. We are getting pressure. We are getting enough pressure trying to just live our life. I want to say that again. We don't have to experience pressure of us giving up our life. We are getting enough pressure trying to just live our life. Trying not to conform with others. Not giving in to temptations. See, denying Christ is always knocking at our door. It's always 1,300 feet below sea level. Pressure's there. And many of us are experiencing that pressure. Many of us are 1,300 feet below sea level right now and not even know it, or some of us do know it. And you are looking at the margin of error that's going on in your life and you're wondering, do I still have room to go? But God has some encouragement for us. He has encouragement for us. But he also has a command for us. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or for me as a prisoner," Paul is saying this, "rather join with me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Mark 8:38, Jesus' words, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes to the Father's glory and the holy angels." When I read that, that put me in a place that I'd really needed to look at. Two powerful reminders as believers that you either have to decide, as we've said it before, are we going to be a fan of Christ or are we going to truly be a follower of Christ? What are we going to hold on to? What are we going to deal with when the pressure comes? Will we cave in like Peter did? See, Simon denied Christ three times. But I believe in my heart of all hearts that he was truly not ashamed of Christ. I believe with all of my heart when there's times in our lives when we deny Christ, I believe with all of my heart that I do not believe that you are ashamed of Christ. But Simon was probably feeling like many of us feel that we blew it. That's why he went away and he wept. Have you felt that before? Where you feel like you have blown it? Did you cave in? We lifted temptations and the pressure come our way. We allowed fear over. When we deal with fear, guys, it can really mess us up. It dictates over us. It makes us rationalize why we do what we did. Have you ever said, "I threw away something really good in my life"? Have you ever felt, "I'll never get that second chance in ministry again, or with that friend, or with even Jesus"? There's no way that he'll be able to forgive me for what I just got through doing. How will Jesus ever forgive a prideful, complacent, self-centered, no good fisherman, teacher, student, lawyer, handyman, nurse, secretary, Sunday school teacher, pastor like me? I want to take you really quick, and I know it's time. John chapter 21, and I'll read it really quick. John chapter 21, I want you to see something. I want you to see the encouragement. John chapter 21, 15 through 19. And so when they had eaten breakfast, because see, life went back to normal. Jesus had died. They had denied him, and all they knew was what they knew at that point, is that he denied Jesus Christ not once, not twice, but three times. There's no way that life could ever be the same again. So you know what they did? They all went back to normal. Life as normal. Just trying to cope, just trying to deal with life. Wondering, pondering, hoping to see someday if Jesus, whatever someday when they get to heaven, whatever, meet him again. Because see, Jesus Christ is dead. But someone showed up. It was Jesus. And guess who he wanted to meet? Not Simon, but Peter. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, watch the words, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I agape you. Unconditionally love you, Lord. He said, then feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Phileo, brotherly love. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, then tend my sheep. Verse 17. He said to him the third time, one, two, three, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved. You could say Peter might have even wept again. Because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You knew all the things that when you spoke of Zechariah, you know that I was going to face pressure. You know I was going to deal with all these things. You know all things going on in my life right now. He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know that I was never ashamed of you. I just couldn't handle the pressure in my day. It was too much. But you know I was never ashamed of you. Then Jesus said, feed my sheep. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you were girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you are old, you are stretched out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you did not wish. This he spoke, signifying by the death he would be glorified God. And when he said he had spoken this, he said to him, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me. This will be the last time that Jesus Christ will ever call him Simon. The last time. The final time. Because if you remember everything I keep saying, it was Simon, Simon, Simon. And when you look at the Gospels and any time that he is ever called Peter, Petrus, the rock. It was when he was being obedient and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon in the flesh, Petrus, the rock, spiritually walking with the Lord. A few weeks later, Peter, as I close, Peter, the rock, in Acts chapter 2, will go beyond and he will preach his first sermon to 3,000 people will put their trust in the Lord. His second sermon, 5,000 people will end up accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's 8,000 people in two messages. Simon couldn't do that. Only a humbled, broken, not ashamed Petrus, the rock that has spiritually been filled by the Holy Spirit of God, could do anything like that. Simon would not stand up for the man who laid his life down. But watch this. Peter would lay his life down for the Son of Man who stood up for him again. Peter would now lay his life down for the man that stood up for him again. And in his humility, Peter did give up his life. And on the cross, when his time came, he asked them to turn him upside down and to be crucified upside down. The only disciple that ever did that. To show Jesus Christ his unworthiness and his humility of being an obedient follower, not fan of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for stories like this. We thank you for examples like this that we can hold on to and be reminded that no matter what, in our denials, in our sin, in our flesh, and our weaknesses, that we know that in our weaknesses that you are the one that helps make us strong. Father God, as the temptations and the pressures we face with other people and with jobs and with our spouses and our families, with our kids, with the pressures of students with other students on how they treat each other, just the everyday mundane parts of life that takes a hold. It doesn't even have to be a glorious woman of a high priest. It could be just an average, normal situation that somehow takes a toll on us more than it has to. Oh, Father God, I pray that each one of us would be reminded that you're the one that meets us exactly right where we are. Lord, let us be reminded of your words, that they are true. And let us be reminded of how important prayer is with you. Don't let us be complacent. Don't let us be prideful. Don't let us be ashamed. I just ask that, God, that if there's anyone here that are going through any type of struggles, or maybe even like me, that has denied you this week, I pray that each one of us would be reminded that you came back, found us right where we were, and made us into something new. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.